Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and to tribute to whom tribute. And we would like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Sister A.Z. Hubbard and the Saved News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. Now, we're all home folk, and we're all just family of God. But all together, we'll all be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It's our continued prayer that you are blessed of God, and you may be blessed by these services. Now here's the message, simply titled, Sin, on Hope for the Hopeless, from the Haven of Hope Church.
I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9 through verse 26. Once you found that, if you don't mind, would you stand to honor the reading of God's word? You're capable of standing. Hallelujah. Romans 3 and 9 says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongue is they that have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me today? My Father God, I come before your throne today, dear Lord, seeking your God, your divine unction, seeking your guidance, your anointing, your power, your spirit. Anoint me today, dear God, to be your man, to be your vessel. Let my mouth be open and let your word fill it. Father, move upon me today, that your power and your anointing be upon me in such that I would minister to this congregation, dear God, in a way that would benefit them, in a way that would glorify your name and uplift the name of Jesus, and let every soul and mind and heart, dear God, that's watching or listening to the sound of my voice, let it be, dear God, such that they should receive strength and life, dear God, through the word of God, in the precious and holy and righteous name of Jesus, we thank you and pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know what the title of my message today is? Sin. It ain't one that I won't preach. Brother Bob, what I want to say first?
I love it.
I love it. to church. I was about 19 years old when I got saved. I started going. And I discovered some things. I discovered that there was people who thought that they were God's gift to the church.
Oh, hallelujah.
They thought that they were God's risen, raised up holiness, that they were the ones who were put on the earth to bring judgment to everyone who was not holy as they.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
I met them folks. I have heard people. I have watched people act like if you ain't holy as me, you don't need to be sitting near me.
Come on, man. Go on.
I see people that have got the look I got on my face. I have seen that look on people's face when somebody walked in the door they didn't think about. I have had people been to churches when sinners walked in the door to sit on the pew, they went. I have literally had, as a pastor, I've had people come to me, we'll meet their kind in our church.
Oh my.
What in the world? Well, there. They do this and they do that. We don't need them in our church. Where do they need to go?
That's right.
Where do sinners need to go? And Tiffany, you tell me what church they belong to so I can go too. Because if they don't belong here, neither do I.
Amen. That's right.
So they, when they see a sinner start to come to church, they want to start a crusade to run them off.
Okay.
I've had family do that. I literally nearly got run off of church myself because I stood in the gap for somebody that family members was trying to start a crusade to make them leave the church. They come to church out of a horrible, wicked, evil lifestyle and got saved. And because they got saved out of it, these people didn't appreciate the lifestyle they had come from. We don't need that kind in our church. And I stepped in between them. I said, I ain't letting you do this. And they started bringing it against me. Literally to the point that I was this close to having the pastor turn me out of the church because he was believing the lies they were bringing. All because I was standing in the gap of somebody else. We have to tell you something, saints. If you want to find some truly wicked, evil people, go to a church.
Yes.
Amen.
It's true.
That's right.
But see, I don't go to church because of the people there. Well, I don't know about this one. I kind of like the people in this. But I wasn't going to church then because of them people, and them people won't make me leave. I went to church because that's where God told me to be.
Amen.
And I served God because that's what God wanted me to do. And I stood in the gap every time they needed me to stand in the gap for somebody because I thought, well, if we don't stand in the gap for this one who's trying to get their life right and go to heaven, who was it? Who was it stood in the gap for you? Who did somebody stand up and lead you to church and lead you to an altar of forgiveness?
Come on, man. That's some good preaching there.
Amen.
It ain't gonna be in a minute.
All right, come on now, Jeff. Shake that bush.
I love y'all.
Come on now.
Revelation 21:6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I told y'all before that when I was living on my own in Fuquay, right after I got saved, well, before I got saved, I was dating this girl there in Fuquay. And I was just as big a drunk as you ever seen in your life. And that's all when we bought groceries, I bought 2 cases of beer.
Amen.
And that was all we put in my part of the refrigerator.
Come on, man.
And so, that's, you can tell right there, well, this girl that I started dating, she said, well, she won't have none of it. So instead of me drinking a 6-pack of beer at lunch, she was making me go to lunch with her, and she was making me eat a chicken sandwich. And then for supper, she said, you coming to my house tonight, my mama's going to cook for you. Well, mama was a real good cook, and I got to liking them folks. And one night she asked her daughter something, her daughter told her something that wasn't quite true. And her mama looked at her and she said, all liars shall have their part. And that struck a chord in me and it sent shivers through my backbone. And I looked at her, at my girlfriend, I said, what does that mean? Where'd she get that? She said, I want to look at Revelation, said all liars shall have their part. And I'm like, and I got saved. That's one of the reasons that I can't stand a lie.
Amen.
I hate a lie because it'll take you to hell.
Yes, it will.
And I'm not saying I don't lie. I'm going to tell you this. I try my best not to lie. And if I don't lie to you on purpose, if I tell you something that ain't true, it's because I think it's true. And if I think it's true and I find out that it ain't, I'll come back to you later and tell you it ain't. All right?
All right.
Because you ain't got nothing I want.
Come on.
You ain't got nothing I want you to think about. I ain't nothing I want you to think about me that's worth me lying to you and going to hell.
That's right. Amen.
I love you, but I don't think that much of you.
Come on now.
Okay?
That's right. Tell it.
If telling you a lie is going to give me some kind of benefit, you ain't got the benefit that's going to keep me out of hell.
That's right. Come on, man.
So, you ain't going to expect a lie. And if you think I'm lying, you tell me so. And we'll talk about it.
Yes. Amen.
And I'll show you where I am, or you're going to show me where I am. Amen. Where it loves.
That's right.
But all liars should have their part. Now, this thing, this passage right here went over all kinds of things. But the problem today is, saints of God, that in the church world, I hear people all the time talking, I need to find me a church that I feel comfortable in. That's about to fall over the whole time. And I'm going to tell you a secret. If you find you a church that you feel comfortable in, you're in the wrong place.
That's right.
Because if the preaching of the Word of God makes you comfortable, it don't get down into your craw, it don't get down into your soul, it don't make you feel bad, it don't make you feel the conviction of God, and somebody ain't preaching the Word right.
That's
if you
right.
Got a church that's making you comfortable, you need to find another one.
Come on, man. Yes, sir.
If you come to this church because you're comfortable, I'm making a mistake somewhere.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
And we get to the point that people in this generation of the Church of God used to be a holiness denomination. Did y'all know that? Pentecostal and holiness.
Yes,
but it's got to the point now that people come into the church and they've got their own theology. Because they've been listening to every TV preacher in the world.
Yep.
They've been watching all these Facebook preachers. All these YouTube preachers. And man, they can shell corn. They can burn it down. But they can water down the sin too.
Come on. That's right.
And you know, in this we got into an age where we were looking for the seeker friendly church. The seeker-friendly church doesn't care about your sin.
That's right.
The seeker-friendly church, oh, we just want you to come to church and get comfortable and start paying your tithes and making offerings. And some of these leaders have found out that if you can make people comfortable and make a whole bunch of people come to church, they can make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. If I was in this for the money, I'd quit a long time ago. Trust me, I ain't going there. Anyway, we got people coming into the church who want me to start. I ain't supposed to preach on drinking in the church. Because, Pastor, I just don't believe that's a sin. Well, you can believe whatever you want, but you can read the Word.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm not mad at you. You can come. I'll tell you the truth. You can do any sin that you're doing, I want you to come to church. If you're doing anything that the Bible calls sin, I want you to come to church.
Because
if you don't come to church, I can't tell you that it's sin.
That's right.
I can't make a way to get you to heaven.
Yes.
And if you don't think it's sin until I prove it to you, then it ain't sin to you until it's made known. Because the Bible says if you don't know it's sin, it ain't. But once you know, it ain't my fault anymore.
That's right.
It's on you.
That's right.
We got people coming into the church that they come in and you ain't better not say nothing to me.
All right, now.
Better not talk about my sin.
Come on, man.
Talks about my sin, I'll take my toys and go home.
Come on, man.
I can find me a comfortable church.
All right, man.
Better not talk to me about living for God. Better not talk to me about holiness. Better not talk to me about paying my tithes.
Shake that.
Come on. Burn it down.
Yes. Better not talk to me. About drinking, smoking,
womanizing. Come on.
But not talk to me about lying.
Come on, man.
But everybody lies.
Come on, man.
Not everybody.
That's right.
It ain't a lie until you know it is.
That's right.
We become accustomed to our sin. We come in thinking, well, I can buy this because me and God, we got this deal. I found it in the Word this way, and I ain't, you know, you don't believe it that way, but I can turn this around and make it look like I can make it say that if I want to. But if I take the word literally, if I go find the word and find it, and sometimes we have to go back to the original Hebrew, to the original Greek to find out what they're really saying. If I can take the word and prove that to you, then then it's on you. But if you want to, if you don't want to hear that, if you want to, and a lot of people do this now. You ever tell a child something they don't want to hear? They don't want to hear, as long as I don't hear it, let's go. We do that, church. You know what the problem is now? The problem is now people don't, their consciences are seared. We become accustomed to our sin.
Come on, man.
We have become comfortable in our sin. We have grown cold to salvation from our sin. And we get angry at the preacher when he points out our sin. But we will let our sin carry us to hell.
That's why.
I got something to tell you. Jesus spoke about sin very clearly. Go and sin no more. For if you do this, this is a sin. If you don't do this, this is... He spoke very clearly about these things. It's up to you to divide the word rightly and to... I'm going to tell you a secret. If I wanted to base my salvation on the flip of a coin, I could take a coin. Now, if you flip a coin in the air 100 times, you know what? Statistics prove that if you flip that coin in the air 100 times, 50 times it's going to fall on heads and 50 times it's going to fall on tails. So if you flip a coin, it's 50-50. And if you want to make guesses and assumptions about going to hell, you're flipping a coin with your soul. Well, it might be like this. Well, it might not.
That's right.
The problem is that people don't want to admit that they're sin. They don't want to admit it. They don't want to confess it. And if you don't confess sin, you don't get it out. And if you don't confess sin to the Lord, it don't go nowhere.
All right.
If you don't believe you're sinning, but you're sinning, you're still sinning.
That's right. No matter what you're doing.
The Word of God is right. Romans 3 and 4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. And all liars will have their part. Like Lib Baker said, all liars shall have their part. The Word is still the truth. I'm going to tell you something. If one word in this Bible is not the truth, then none of it is.
That's right.
If one word in this Bible is not the truth, then we've based our eternity on a lie. And I'm going to tell you a secret. God can't lie, because every word that proceeds out of His mouth becomes the truth because of His power. Luke 18 and 9. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised to others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this publican. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican stood far off and wouldn't even lift up his eyes unto heaven, smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We don't have the right to tell somebody they don't deserve to come to our church.
That's right.
I want the unsaved to come in. We've had homosexuals. Oh, you don't know how many homosexuals we've had come in here. You just don't know. And it's in regular. And I knew it. But there's a whole lot of churches that ask them to leave. I want them to get saved and get saved out of their sin.
Amen.
We've had people living together, unmarried, coming in. And people look at them like, why? We don't need to be looking at somebody else and looking down on somebody else because they sin differently than we do. Tell me that you're living without sin, I'm going to pray for you. Because you just lie.
Yes.
And all liars shall have their part.
Amen.
My heart is so heavily burdened today. We are looking at the end of things. And there's a lot of preachers out there that I have said these kind of things to before. A lot of men of God that I trust, that I put a lot of stock in, that I hold in high regard, and they laughed at me when I was saved. family, the very same thing. We're watching the end, saints. We're watching it. It could be any second. If I stood up here and sugarcoated it and buttered your roll, I ain't doing you no favor.
That's right.
We need to search our hearts. David said, search me and know me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Read Psalm 139 where David is pouring his heart out to God. Search me, O Lord. Now, sometimes we have to pray and say, Lord, search me and show me if there's any sin in my life. Let me promise you something. If you do that, if you will ask God to show you sin in your life, the very next thing that comes into your mind is going to be God showing you that sin. It just happens that way. Unless your heart is so seared, you just don't really care. But there's sometimes we don't have to ask the Lord to show us what our sin is. Because we already know, we just kind of push it over to the side. But saints, I want you to get into heaven. Little Olivia did the devotion for Wednesday night service over the youth service this past week. And she read the scripture that talked about God not allowing one sin into heaven. And she talked about the fact that if God allows one sin into heaven, heaven will become what the earth has become. She did her study. She did her background. Searched it out. I was proud of her.
Praise God.
But she told the truth. If you got these sins that you're hanging on to, but me and God got this deal.
Come on.
Because I've got an understanding that the rest of y'all don't have. God don't make special deals with people. If God says it's sin in the Word, He don't say it's sin for everybody but Mac. He don't say it's sin for everybody but Tommy. He don't say it's sin for everybody but Donnie. If it's sin, it's your sin too. And just because you've got somebody else to take the Word and twist it around to the point that you don't, that, and there's all kinds of people out there twisting their Word around, I call them scriptural lawyers, scriptural attorneys. Because they will take the Word and they will just manipulate every little syllable and manipulate it around and turn it around to say what they want it to say and convince others that that's what it says. The Bible says that if you're going to teach the Bible wrong, you might as well have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the sea.
Preach.
Saints, I want you in heaven. I don't want you suffering what's happening next. And I certainly don't want you suffering hell. Now, would everybody bow your heads with me, please? Lord, I have delivered my soul of this message today. And you alone, dear God, know the turmoil that was in my heart and soul over this word today. I thank you, O God, for lifting that burden as this word has been preached. But Father, now I pray you burden the other hearts. All those who are listening by radio or by video or here in the house, I ask your God that you would burden their hearts with the truth of their sin. Not so they can feel bad, not so they can hurt, but God, so they can confess it before you and repent and get and the root that is taken in their heart, let it be ripped out so that they can get to heaven. Lord, that's the goal. Get them to heaven. And even as I'm preaching, even as I'm praying right now, the Lord just showed me that the enemy is stirring up some people's hearts. Stirring up division. I don't like what he's saying. The Lord just showed it to me. And somebody else out there is not going to like what I'm saying. They're going to start going to everybody else and tell them they didn't like what I said. The Lord just showed me that. You know how he showed it to me? He showed it to me in a pentagram. The sign of the devil. What does that tell you? It ain't from God. Father, I ask you to touch me upon each of these today. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over those who were even angry. Angry at me, dear God, I plead the blood of Jesus over them that they might be forgiven, dear Lord, that they might come to you and bring their sin before you in the precious and holy and righteous name of Jesus. If there's anybody here that you have prayed that prayer, Lord, show me my sin, and he showed it to you, I want you to come to this altar right now and get it confessed. God, search me and know me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Dear Lord, if there's anything to stand between me and heaven, show it to me, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I was praying that prayer, I saw a cross lying on the ground sideways, standing up on one arm and one in the bottom of the foot, and chains holding it to the ground. Someone is bound up in here today and you're refusing to let God touch your heart and deal with you. Someone, either watching by live stream or sitting here or listening by radio, God is dealing with your heart. And you're refusing. Dear God, I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone, dear God, that's listening to this message. I break the chains of bondage, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Now, dear Lord, send the Holy Spirit to bring liberty and freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Dear God, bring the liberty and the freedom of the Spirit of God upon this house in Jesus' name. We've got one more thing to do. Everybody, show me your right hand. Let's pray this sinner's prayer with me. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
I know you died on the cross for my sin.
You were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Our worship music service is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, and our CCLI Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., with fellowship dinner following the service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church with the flood at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page, Haven of Hope Church. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.